The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Fallout from game one. If you're looking for one columnist from Los Angeles to say it's over, we have one, I believe. That LeBron dunk at the end of the half, better than 90% of dunk contests. And the ninja kick, craziest goal you'll see in the 90 minute. Stone, Spain, Kalashaw Khan. Let's go. The latest on Goran Dragic, doubtful, torn plantar in the left foot. The latest on Bam Adebayo, doubtful with neck strain. And this series, the NBA Finals right now, very much doubtful. It was 23-10 Miami, and then, is it a run if it lasts 3.5 quarters? Tim Kalishaw, around the horn to you. What kind of conclusions are you comfortable jumping to after game one and all the injuries the Heat now have?
Sure, you start with the guy who picked Heat in six and say, where are you now? Okay, it's a difficult position to hang on to, and I'm not sure I even want to. Mm-hmm. Everything changes with the injuries, and we'll probably hear right up till game time what, if anything, Dragic or Bam can do. But we know even when Bam was healthy, the Lakers had a very good plan for shutting him down, and it was working. And really, the dunk you showed by LeBron was like the exclamation point at halftime. That game was over. But go back to when it was 23-10, and everything's going Miami's way. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope hits two threes, and Miami's whole, and that gets the Lakers going, and everything's okay. The Heat had to hope, we make this a two-man team, and they don't know what they've got. And once the other figures, like him and Rondo and others, started factoring in, this thing was out of
hand. Dara Spain?
Yeah, unlike Plashke, who I believe disrespectfully said in the aforementioned column that he should have picked the Lakers in three.
He did.
Which
he did.
Is yeah. incredibly it's rude to a Heat Bill. Team that has at least deserved a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt. But for once, I will agree with Plashke. I do think this series is over. To Kalashaw's point, early in that first game, you did see a blueprint for how the Heat could succeed, and you're thinking, oh, wow, they're really giving it to him. But all it took was for a little adjustment to see that this Lakers team with Davis and LeBron, too big. They out-rebounded them. They're really extremely effective from beyond the arc, especially during the stretches when the game was still sort of in contention. That 75-30 run that you talked about, I think it's still a run over the course of three quarters when it's that big of a deficit. Okay. It's not over like a sweep. I think the Heat will get a game, but those injuries are the reason not to just say it's only one game. They can easily rejigger. We can look at what Spoelstra does, and they can come back. The injuries are going to be a big part of why.
Another year where injuries take over the NBA Finals. We remember last year, of course, with Durant and
Bummer.
Thompson going out. Blackstone, will bring you in here. You're jumping to conclusions after game one. Where are you landing?
Not really. I'm not jumping to any conclusion. I texted some of my friends last night making predictions before the game, and I sent them a sweep emoji.
All right. So you texted to some friends. Okay. Now, you don't say it on TV.
I just want to say there's textual evidence. You can reach them. You can look at the evidence yourself. It is there. I'm not fearful of it. Okay. I just thought that the Lakers were too tall, too talented. And too good of a defensive team to get beat. I mean, look, they only lost one game in each of their series so far in these playoffs, right? And we're talking about a Heat team that no one thought was going to get this far in the first place. A Heat team that really thrives on playing small ball. And we saw what the Lakers do to teams that try and play small against them. It's just not a good matchup. So this is no disrespect to the Heat. I love what the Heat have done.
No disrespect. The series is over. No disrespect. Here's the disrespect to everyone in this panel, because none of us got your famed texts. Mina Kimes, we were all on a group text last night. Where was Blackstone? Nowhere to be found.
Yeah. Apparently not. Yeah, that is the real disrespect here. Look, the margin of error for Miami going into this series was already small. Without Dragic, it's razor thin. Without Adebayo, I don't even know what's thinner. Like a nanometer is smaller than razor thin, because that's where they're at right now. First with Dragic, He is their primary playmaker. He's been excellent in the postseason. The offense flows through him. You saw in the first quarter, by the way, that formula, the pick and roll with Dragic, not a bio, this could work. But unfortunately, it's going to be a downgrade to Kendrick Nunn, who's great, but it's still a downgrade nonetheless. And then with no Adebayo, I mean, as Tim pointed out, even with Adebayo, they're getting dominated inside, out-rebounded. Anthony Davis, I believe 26 of his 34 points were either in the paint or at the line. They're just getting crushed in there. And for Spoelstra, I don't know what kinds of adjustments he can make with the players who are going to be available to him, but he's got to stop the bleeding inside. You live with the three because that'll come and go, but you can't get dominated on the boards like
Kev,
that.
Kev, I'll give you the last word.
I was just going to say, let's not forget that that 13-point deficit that the Lakers had, they had erased that and gone up by at least 15 before these injuries started kicking in. So they made the adjustments. They pressured that team. Into
all right, heat culture taking notes, though, everybody. I mean, Sarah, you said it's over. Mina, you don't think it could be possible. Kalisher, you picked Miami. I'll give you a little bit of credit for that, but you're pulling a hamstring jumping off that right now. All right, good. We'll move on. Here's a headline. Stay mad. We'll stay winning. If you asked me who said that, I would typically say Sarah Spain. But this story here, the Houston Astros, Carlos Correa's quote. Let's hear it.
I know a lot of people are mad. I know a lot of people don't want to see us here. But what are they going to say now? You know, we're a solid team. We play great baseball. We won a series on the road in Minnesota. So what are they going to say now?
That asks a question of you, Sarah. What are you going to say now?
Well, I would say congratulations on winning two games in a three-game series against a team that has lost 18 straight playoff games. Oof. I would say congratulations on officially getting your season record to 500. I would say congratulations on this weird new wild card extended playoffs. Why don't you wait a minute before you get all chesty, just in case you get rocked in the next round and get sent home with your tail between your legs? And I would finally say, you said we were mad. Do you want to articulate why? Are you interested in getting into a conversation about why everyone is mad, or do you just want to double down on?
Okay. You do seem a little mad here, though. You do seem a little mad. Sarah, you are the one who celebrates celebration at all times, or at least sticking it to the man a little bit. You're not here for this.
No, celebrate your win. Don't act like we don't have a right to be frustrated by it. You are taking what you deserve and could be so much worse, and you deserved much worse. You got benefit of no fans, and you got the benefit of somehow nobody on that team being affected players-wise.
Maybe you're shaking your head no.
No, I'm just saying you're exactly right. I mean, Sarah is mad. This is exactly what Correa is talking about. Look, someone is wearing the black hat. We knew it coming into this baseball season. We talked about it at the beginning of the year, and now they're still wearing it going into this postseason, and they're advancing. Who doesn't like a villain in your sports? Mm-hmm. They are the villains. Now, I don't know if all of Correa's teammates are real thrilled about what he had to say, reminding everybody about how this season got started, but he has done it, he is owning it, he is wearing it, and he's probably going to get his head.
Okay. But you're pro Correa
here. He's going to wear it.
And the villain.
I don't mind it. The villain in sports.
I'm not mad. I'm unimpressed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, we can all see what the Astros are doing. They are leaning in to the heel role, right? They're going full wrestling heel. And if that motivates them, so be it. I don't care. It's kind of entertaining. But as Sarah pointed out, you beat the Twins in a three-game series. And the Astros are uniquely, I think, built for a three-game series. You saw the way Dusty Baker was using their starting pitchers, right, to get past that hump. It's going to be a lot harder next time around. Wait for that round to talk your trash, okay? Because right now, it really isn't resonating.
Kalishaw, does it resonate with you?
No, I just think he's an unnecessary villain. I mean, I think the Astros have been saved by the pandemic. They never had to go to stadiums with 40,000 Yankee fans or Red Sox fans or Dodgers fans screaming at them or making banging trash can sounds. And really, if you're ever going to advise players not to talk or to just move on, and say, we're the 2020 Astros. We've had a lot of injuries. We're just trying to win.
So this is a reporter who doesn't want players to
That's
talk.
That's all they're trying
to Kalisher, do. Kalisher, you're a reporter
yes,
who doesn't.
I don't like doing that. I don't like doing that.
You heard Sarah and Mina bring up the Twins, Tim. 18 straight playoff losses over 16 years. Is that bad luck or bad baseball?
It can't be just bad luck. Now, the bad luck part was 10 straight losses to the Yankees during that stretch. Beyond that, the Twins usually don't have the ace, the 20-game winner, who's going to just make sure that doesn't happen. But This is ridiculously long.
The maniacal mess that was Yankees-Cleveland last night. 6 hours of rain and bombs and blowing leads. Aaron Boone said in all his years in the game, he doesn't know how you top that playoff game. Think about that for a second. Aaron Boone said that about last night's game, not a certain other game he's played in. Now New York advances to take on Tampa. Sarah, what did the Yankees show you in these two games with Cleveland?
That their offense is scary. The AL best staff ERA got busted with 20-plus runs in the first two postseason games. And ESPN research tells us the three teams who did that to a team before all went to the World Series. Now, this is a weird season. I'm not claiming yet that I think they can get that far. But, you know, after Gerrit Cole, their starting staff might not be as good. Doesn't matter, because that offense, as long as they're healthy, is too much to take.
Yeah, they're the Bronx Bombers again. This is what we talked about going into this baseball season. Look what they did. They just started smashing the baseball. You can't run away from them, right? You get a lead, and next thing you know, they're on base, and they're knocking guys in again. You get another lead, and the next thing you know, there's a two-run shot over the wall. You just can't outrun their bats. So it's going to take quite an effort in the next round to keep those guys at bay.
They're the Big 12 of playoff teams, right? No pitching, no problem, because they are bringing that offense. And this is the offense that we were promised. And we're, at times, they struggled. There were health issues. As a Yankees fan, I would be heartened to see Stanton homer in two straight games, given how he looked coming back from injuries. They're a fearsome opponent as a result. I would be afraid to go up against that lineup.
We think about Judge and Stanton and Torres maybe as the Bombers, but Luke Voit led the majors in homers. Urshela had the grand slam last night. LeMahieu led the majors in batting, and Gary Sanchez bats ninth. So when you can do all that and you got Chapman at the end, I like your chances against just about anyone.
It wasn't just a grand slam for Urshela. It was that double play. The double play, the ball was passed him. He threw it from his, and he went around the horn, which we like. We appreciate that. And then he had a hit in the ninth. All right. By the way, Aaron bleeping Boone, you played in a very important postseason game that blew people's minds. You could say this was the second best game. All right, we're taking a break here. Coming up, buy or sell. Kyrie Irving's got some quotes that we need to get to. KD could be the head coach of the Nets. I could be the head coach some days. How Steve Nash hears that in 2 minutes.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Steelers Titans officially off the week 4 schedule. No game, postponed until when they can fit it in, whenever that may be. Two more positive tests came up for Tennessee today. We've discussed the health and safety concerns and protocols this week. From a strictly football standpoint now, the Steelers and Titans are good. They have playoffs on the mind, Mina Kimes. With this postponement, have we hit a competitive disadvantage for these two teams?
Yes, but we really can't complain about it. One, because it would be, I think, optimistic to assume this is going to be the last time this happens. And these are the only two teams, right, who are going to have an early bye. But also, this is what we signed up for. The NFL, those of us who cover the NFL, you can see what happened with MLB. These things will happen. Teams will have to adjust. And it is what it is, quite frankly.
Galashaw.
You know, I think Pittsburgh feels that way because they're probably thinking, we didn't do anything wrong here. Our players are fine. And you got to put that mindset aside and take a more collective approach this year than ever before. But really, just they get a bye in week four. That's not the biggest penalty in the world. So I don't think it changes their playoff hopes.
There's being.
I never thought I'd hear the intellectual and analytical Mina Kimes go with the it is what it is argument. That is absolutely a first. I think that to what Tim said is right. Like right now, you could be frustrated that your team got on the wrong end of it. And then 2 weeks later, you never know, you might be the team causing that same issue. And because we're not sure about who's going to play a full slate, it is not that bad to have an early bye, have a couple days this week that you maybe planned on using to better use. That's not so bad.
The only thing is that, you know, teams use bye weeks later on in the season as a chance, hopefully, to heal up. And so now the opportunity is lost, and so these teams may have to grind without being able to take a break. And if they get some serious injuries, that could be a hindrance.
Mina, you want to respond to Sarah there, a little bit of the what you took on?
I mean, frankly, if you really look at what everybody said, it is what it is.
Oh, just it isn't what it isn't.
Doubling down.
We move Doubling on. Down. Doc Rivers to the Philadelphia 76ers. An offer imminent is the report that Doc would choose Philly over Houston, another available job, or New Orleans, another available job, or TV, which is always available, and that Philly would choose Doc over Tyronn Lue or Mike D'Antoni. What makes sense, Tim?
I think it makes sense for both sides to try for Philly and Doc to get together. But I think we should also remember he was with the Clippers for 7 years. His job was to do more than Vinny Del Negro did in 2012, which was to get to the second round. And in 7 years, both with the Blake and Chris Paul team and then with the Kawhi and Paul George team.
That wow, invoking the name of Vinny Del Negro. Kalish.
Didn't do a Darius bad
Payne,
job.
How about you?
Yeah, it's sort of fascinating, right? There's this circle of guys right now, and Brett Brown and Mike D'Antoni and Doc Rivers, who all just couldn't quite get past a certain point. So are they just going to change places and then see if they can do it somewhere else? I don't think it's a bad hire. I'd be interested to see what plans he has for this starting roster, which is very complicated. But it is a question of can he finally get past that blowing 3-1 leads, not making the conference finals.
Pakistan.
I think it's a good hire. I can get it done. It's not Blake's fault.
You know, I mean, D'Antoni doesn't have a ring. Tyrone got one when he was with LeBron. I think this is a good move. I would have loved to have seen them go out on a limb and do something like get Dawn Staley in there, a basketball hero in Philly. See what she can do with an NBA team.
Amina Khan.
I think given the Sixers' specific needs, figuring out how to combine their two stars, both on and off the court, Ty Lue made a bit more sense, but Doc is, of course, a good choice. But from Doc's perspective, I think the Pelicans was a more attractive job, so I'm kind of surprised he didn't jump at that. That would be first on my
list.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hitching your wagon to Zion would be your first move over everything else and the rebuilding process there. Yeah, okay. Well, that is what it is then, right? We could say that. We can move on. The Brooklyn Nets now. This was on Kevin Durant's The Et Cetera's podcast. Kyrie Irving, quote, I think this is also going to change the way we see coaches, he said about hiring Steve Nash. I don't really see us as having a head coach, he said. You know what I mean? KD could be a head coach. I could be a head coach, KD. And added, Jacques Vaughn could do it one day. Collaborative effort on our parts. Sarah, by yourself.
Some men just want to watch the flat world burn. I don't know why he does this to himself. I really don't. I mean, listen, the only person that I think chimed in with little sense here was the other host, Eddie Gonzalez, who said, yeah, I mean, I think you need the head of the snake, though, to make sure he keeps everyone in charge. And Kyrie wasn't like, yeah, that's what I meant. No, what I meant was every day we have a different head coach, and sometimes it's me, which won't be at all a problem for the rest of the guys on that starting lineup and bench. Woo, mess.
KB,
absolute
how do you
mess
think
on
Steve
the way.
Nash heard this?
Oh, my God. He's got to be thinking, what have I gotten myself into? The guy hasn't even picked up the clipboard in that city yet, and already he's getting flambéed by the players, by some people.
So you would
in the
say
media.
This is flambéed by Kyrie? This isn't free-form approach, and Kyrie's describing how open Steve Nash is? No, I'm not joking around here. I mean, this well, you're all laughing at me. I mean,
no.
You heard the podcast. We couldn't play the audio, but totally, you know, he's not saying it like, man. He said, I have a good relationship with Steve Nash, saw him a few years ago. Mina, is there anything to the idea that this could be a free? No, you're shaking your head now. Okay.
To the Steve Nash point, though, on one hand, yes, I'm imagining him sitting in his manse somewhere, his phone blowing up, the look on his face. But on the other hand, he knows what he signed up for. None of this is surprising, okay. Right? I'm really shocked to hear Kyrie Irving advocate I don't even know how to describe the political system that he's going for in Brooklyn. Like, Steve Nash.
A menage a trois? I don't know. I mean, yes.
An entanglement.
Tim Kallis show. Very good, sir.
Look, I really think this is just the way young people tend to view things. It's just like this show.
Oh,
any
yes.
of us could do the scoring on this show. Any of us could be hitting the
ball. Oh, yes? Oh, yes?
Putting
okay.
Yes, I recognize that. Hopefully doing the right thing.
I think we all watched the debate this week and we saw exactly what goes into, you know.
There needs to be some buttons.
Some might say. Mita Kimes, we got to run. Sorry to go. Kevin Blackenstone, Tim Kallishaw. Well, KB, you know why you're getting a deduction here. All right? Yes, you know why. Kallishaw, Spain, showdown, 2 minutes.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Tim Kallishaw, Sarah Spain, meeting in showdown for the ninth time ever. The all-time matchup, Spain 7, Kallishaw 1. Oh, you like the Cincinnati Reds, Kallishaw. Let's go, Broncos, Jets, Thursday Night Football.
Tim, you're right.
One reason, I'm looking for one reason to watch tonight.
Watch Jerry Jeudy play for the Broncos and see if you think he's on a better team this year than the one he was on last year. Okay, that's not fair. But it might be right.
Watch the Jets and see if they can't beat the third quarterback for the Broncos this year and ninth since they won the Super Bowl. Because if they can't, it might be to Adam Gase.
We'll split the point. We'll move on. Credit blame game. You guys ready? Are you giving credit to Hartford Athletic goal scorer Danny Barrera or blame to Philadelphia Union 2's keeper Mitchell Butler? This was in the 90th minute, and Hartford took first place in the group with the playoffs around the corner with his ninja kick. Sarah, credit or blame?
I want to give credit for flicking the leg, but he's right in front of you. Like, can you see the person right in front of you? Throw around him or over him. What are you doing?
It's not a great throw, but I'm going to give credit. I mean, how many feet is he away from the goal? Is anybody thinking about if I throw it a little too low, he's kicking it way over everyone's head into the net? That was an incredible
many
one.
Feet away?
I'm giving him.
They're not really measuring. The only foot away that mattered was the foot he stuck up here, Kallishaw. The point, FaceTime Sarah Spade.
Oh, wow. 8-1.
I can't win.
Sticking with the USL, last night Landon Donovan, San Diego Loyal team, walked off the pitch up 3-1 because of a gay slur allegedly hurled at an openly gay player. Now, this is probably going to get lost in our very crowded sports marketplace, but it shouldn't. It's the kind of bold and necessary protest for a sport that needs to come to terms with its racism and its homophobia. And in 2020, the fact that we are still having to deal with this in sports is so sad and frustrating. I'm really glad that they took a stand like that.
Thank you for saying that, Sarah Spain. I saw the images on the field, and Phoenix's coach Rick Shantz was telling Landon Donovan, this is a part of the game. This stops being a part of the game right now when Landon Donovan walks off the field. Very well done. See you guys tomorrow.